Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 39 of the New Process Podcast. Today, we're exploring the practical application of process automation at Robert Bosch. One of the biggest, if not the biggest process automation initiative in Germany right now. Therefore, I'm talking to Daniel Matka. Daniel is project manager and product owner in the area of business process automation with a focus on workflow engines with low-code and no-code features at Robert Bosch Semiconductor Manufacturing in Dresden. Mastering highly complex manufacturing processes and automating networked business processes are at the heart of his vision for an easy-to-use workflow and component toolset. Daniel is also a member of the ACT MadStep, a group that brings entertainment in a quite innovative approach on stage. We'll also talk about this in the episode. Daniel holds a diploma in manufacturing engineering from the Technical University of Dresden. Personally, he likes to be active by participating in triathlons and CrossFit. In the episode, you'll learn how Robert Bosch's process automation initiative looks like, what Daniel recommends to other organizations on how to approach this challenge, how you can learn more about process automation and how to start, how to handle the fear of people that process automation may cut jobs, and we are talking about how to get the people working in the processes excited about process automation. So, enjoy the interview with Daniel Matka.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, welcome to New Process Podcast, Daniel. It's great to have you here. I'm super curious to learn more about what you are doing with regards to process automation at Robert Bosch. So, welcome, Daniel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm super curious to learn more. But before we dive into the content, let's start with a check-in. What do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
I please prefer the window seat because I love discovering the world from above. And I think this view is so rare. See, for example, going through clouds or see the mountains from above. So I prefer the window seat.
Yeah, that's very good. And what is your favorite airport?
To be honest, I haven't seen so many airports from inside. So, but once this summer was the airport in Porto, a really nice architecture, and hey, it was cool.
Okay, I've never been there, but maybe one day. Okay, yeah. That's cool. And final check-in question: what was the best process you have ever experienced?
In the end, it's mainly the Amazon or Shopify processes because they are really simple. They are fast. They are customer oriented, so I love it to buy through these processes or with these processes some things.
Yeah, that's very good. And how would you describe your relationship to processes?
I started my study in the mechanical engineering topic, so I'm diploma in mechanical engineering, and processes are for me the perfect combination out of mechanical engineering or the technical view and the IT view. So my goal was every time to step more into the IT, and processes are the perfect way to go inside there.
Okay, that's cool. What do you think? What comes first, processes or IT?
In the end, it's processes because you have to know what you want to do. And IT is more an enabler and to be faster, more efficient. But yeah, processes.
Yeah, okay. That's good to hear. Perfect. Okay, thank you for these insights. Before we deep dive into process automation, I saw on your website that you had a band called, or you still have a band called Mad Steps, and I saw some really cool photos and videos. What is it about?
Mad Step is a combination out of the old school party band,
yeah,
and the new DJ view, but DJ is mostly a little bit too boring because it's only one person staying on one same place.
Yeah.
So we combined this in hybrid and a live show act and live music with a good show, a lot of pyrotechnics, light show and so on. And we play in Germany at the biggest festivals, and for example Sputnik Spring Break main stage and so on, or big city festivals. And it's my hobby, my creativity, my perfect way after the mechanical engineering or after the technical world.
Yeah. And I think there it's also super interesting to get the people excited about what you're doing, because you have the music to express feelings and you can see direct feedback of the people there.
Absolutely. And I think this is my strength for like sometimes be creative, be on point, that you're really going with some creativity, for example, also in processes, how you solve problems. Or I think music is one of the fastest industries. Every trend is a short hype and then comes the next trend. So it's, you have to be careful that you are every time on the right hype. Follow the hype was every time the good topic there.
Okay, now we're doing the same in process management. Talking about process automation, for me, one of the highest, or probably the highest maturity level. But before we dig deeper into process automation, I would like to learn more about your environment. So you are working as a project manager for Robert Bosch Semiconductors Manufacturing. What is this company doing?
We are based in Dresden and are working here in a production plant for semiconductors, so wafers. Yeah, the semiconductor industry, we saw the semiconductor crisis in the last years. So really important for every kind of usage, for example, in the car for airbags or in some more daily things which we use. And semiconductor is a really technical special topic, because in the end it's so small. Everything what we are doing is with chemical physics and a lot of mechanical engineering, so it's a crazy world and one of the smallest things in the world which you can produce.
Yeah, that's true. And how many people are working in that business unit?
Currently we are 450, nearly 500 engineers.
Okay.
Sitting in the main office, and 3 to 5 or 10 people are working in the fab, because it's fully automated.
Wow.
So it's every time really special.
Okay, cool. And what are you doing in your role?
I'm currently the project lead from like the organizational perspective, and the product owner of big IT project, which is responsible for setting up an workflow engine and workflow environment to run business processes, to set up manufacturing processes, and enable the engineers to be more efficient, to be have it like an helper, or like a digital help for their daily work. So, and this is really, really, really special, because the semiconductor processes are crazy complex, and we have to make sure that we match all the laws, for example, and also of all the norms, EITF and all the DIN norms, which we have to make sure. So this is, really a regulated, complex environment.
Okay, that's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. I was working for Lufthansa Group for more than 20 years, highly regulated with the German Aviation Authority, European, and all the other authorities all around the world. So it's somehow comparable to what you are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because imagine we producing chips for the airbags for our passenger cars. So, and you don't want to drive on the left side on the autobahn and then the airbag pops up, because we had a mistake in the chip. So it's highly regulated.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting to learn. That's cool. And I'm quite sure you're working on a different automation project. What was your favorite project?
Sometimes is it cool to have a really easy project, because you have really fast, good solutions. And sometimes is it really cool to solve really, really complex environments. So I think it depends. I don't have the really one favorite project. Every day, every week is another challenge. And I love the challenge to solve this and going make a green
check mark.
Pros, I agree, a green check mark behind a big challenge, and to help then the engineers.
Yeah,
and see the happy faces.
Okay. And how do you proceed to get these happy faces? Is there a standard procedure, or how do you approach these automation activities?
We started with a standard procedure, because it's, in the end, it's also a process. You start with the requirements engineering. This is so crazy important that you know what is in the head of the engineers. Mm-hmm. And it's highly complicated, to be honest, because all the things which you do And really, usually every day you write emails, you call the right people, and to reproduce this knowledge into like a ticket for a user story is quite interesting every day. And yes, starting with the requirements engineering, going to modeling the processes in the standard notations, BPMN, CMN, and DMN, the OMG group notations. And then in the end, to put these processes or combine these processes with a lot of data. Mm-hmm. Our fully automated manufacturing is like the fully automated fab is full with sensors, with all these crazy machines. So we can use a lot of data. Mm-hmm. And combine it and to bring it to the engineers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and in detail, how do you proceed? How do you discover the topics and then how do you get the people excited about working on further automating what they are doing? Because I think what the engineers are doing, that's highly brain work. And maybe they are also a little bit afraid of moving activities to IT. And just letting go of it, or
not really, because everyone is happy if their focus turned back to value creating work. And it's, to be honest, who likes filling out huge Excels? Yeah. So having working with a lot of data, which is already prepared, and then popped up in a good UI, which you can then classify, you can think about it, and bring your decision. In or like going with really data-based decisions mm-hmm. through your day, it's way more or way better for the engineers.
Okay,
because they are really then sure what they are doing.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have a specific example to make it more tangible for the listeners how in automation looks like in reality?
Yeah, absolutely. For example, every single value stream has deviations. So something is not running as you expected. And the deviation is could be on the source side, could be in the manufacturing side, it could be also in the delivering topic. So, and the main goal is to classify the deviation. Is it really now an impact for our product? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? And can we ship this product? And this, we started the deviation management, starting with all the data, putting it together, in the end, gathering in Excel. Mm-hmm. And now the new world with the process automation is the engineers goes in our IT environment, see the deviation, the listed deviations. Okay, we got, I don't know, 5 or 10 deviations today. And behind this process, the engineers can discover more than 500, 600 data points. Mm-hmm. Everything about the deviation is now perfectly listed up. And he sees every single attributes, every single detail, what's going on. And this is the perfect way to make the decision and the classification. Yeah, is the wafer still shippable or is it now a script? Mm-hmm. And yeah, this was a huge improvement and also the perfect base for trust for our customers, mm-hmm. because they know everything about our products.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kinds of tools are you using to implement these automations?
We are mainly running today in the workflow environment on Flowable.
Okay.
It's the first or the main workflow engine for executing also CMNN as a case management mm-hmm. model annotation. It's really important for us to also import or to include all the tasks which only pops up once every 10 or 20 runs. Mm-hmm. So the flexibility for the engineers, this is, and yeah, in the end, we are working a lot of with data, for example, with ab initio, Oracle, and so on. So we have a lot of tools in the background.
Okay. And how do you approach these projects? I learned a new word, which I really love, to upskill the people in the interview with Nico Bitzer. Do you upskill your engineers so that they can develop the automations on their own? Or do you do that with a supporting team of experts?
We have both. In the end, the core is like an expert team, which are experienced in modeling BPMN, CMNN, and so on, and also all this creating REST APIs. But yeah, we are still really focusing on developing our engineers mm-hmm. for example, IT guys, or in the end, is the goal to have like a small army of citizen developers. But to be honest, it's not so easy as expected. And we are really focusing how we can improve the knowledge, because it's not the case that you start on one day and the next day you can already implement a full-scale process. This is, it's learning, it's try and error, it's learning a new language with BPMN and CMNN. So yeah, it's a lot of tasks to do.
Okay, that's cool. And what is the feedback of the people involved?
It's mainly really positive, because the users see a really cool application, easy to use, with a really good UI UX and with a lot of data. So it's, we have the process mostly 4 or 5 times faster, or the processes are running 4 to 5 times faster with the IT implementation. And the modelers, sometimes it's hard, because if you have developers which already works 10 or 20 years, which are really based in the code thinking, they are not happy to go in the modeling topic. So they want to be the coding guys. But to have really like the low-code modelers, mainly now the young people which are coming from the universities, which already had BPMN in their classes. So yeah, this is then really cool, because they can come way, way, way faster into the IT environment, such a big company here with Bosch.
Yeah, okay. So you are really mapping processes in BPMN 2.0 and using what you can export, for example, then?
Yes.
Okay, wow. That's
because cool. The main topic was, we use today Flowable, but with the topic that you go on standards with BPM 2.0 and CMNN, you can easily switch also in the future the application. You haven't got like the big window login that you are now really in a big relationship. So we can easily export the models and going into the next good thing, I don't know, in 3 or 5 years.
Wow, that's super interesting, because often what I see out there is that the people decide to go with BPMN 2.0 to map their processes, but they stuck somewhere in the middle between, on the one hand side, they want to map processes so that they can use these models to talk about the processes with the employees. And they also have the goal to use this documentation for automation. And that doesn't fit, because the people on the one hand side do not really understand the complex notation, full-blown BPMN 2.0, which you need when you are looking towards automation. And then they end somewhere in the middle, and they cannot really use what they have in the tool in the reality. Then, so
it's, I think it's a kind of, or it's the topic of discipline. So
okay,
and this is also the main part, that you really have a core team which are really experts in the BPM 2.0. They can easily help. They can manage the complex situations. And out of this complex situations, you can learn, or the other guys can learn how to solve it. And so it's like a good knowledge sharing. And we had a really good scale to bring up the full notation into our organization.
Wow, that's super cool. Maybe we can deep dive into some examples in a future episode.
But
for today, we have a lot of listeners who are responsible for one single business process, like in finance, for example, or HR, and working on this. And we have, on the other hand, also people being accountable for process management in their overall organization. So two different groups of people. But what would you recommend to these people starting on process automation? How can they learn to do it? How should they start?
The main topic is to pick a first example where you really know what you are doing, which steps are included. And please pick a use case which is not too big, or which is not too complex. Starting with a small first MVPs, really to push into the first 2 or 3 months an MVP into like a pilot phase. It shouldn't be productive. It's more like a pilot phase. And then you get the positive feedback. Oh, cool, man. This is this helps me a lot. And with this small MVPs, you can, you can grow the audience in your company. You can grow. The positive impact is really, really fast. And you have, it's not like for the our calculation the best, but to bringing a lot of guys together, mainly the users, which really use every day the process to collect all the knowledge, bringing them slowly in stages. We cut every single project in stages. Please, stage one, do it as simple as possible, that we can try it, that we can test it, that we can do like a try and error session, and then slowly improve the state of automation. It's not the way that you start from zero and expect in 3 months the perfect, I don't know, vision, solution, everything is fully automated. This is unbelievable. This is not the right way. We cut our process and our expectation in small phases and have every, I don't know, currently in our Scrum cyclus, we have 2 week sprints. So we have every two sprints at the next increment, and we can look every month and happy faces and say, hey, this is your improvement, your next big thing. And this is our key to grow our project. And yeah, I have now something between 25 to 35 people in my project working on processes. So yeah, it's quite interesting and quite successful in Dresden here.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. And what would you recommend if I want to learn more about how to start with process automation? Which sources would you recommend? Or do I need a consultant? Or what's your recommendation there on how to start?
It depends which starting environment you have and which knowledge you already have in your organization. Mm-hmm. We started with three really good experienced people, starting with a small POC. The POC was successful, and then we ramp up the project. Yeah, sometimes as a consultant, really, really helpful because it's a fresh view, it's a fresh mind, and hopefully a really good expert in the topic. So, and you need a good tool, which is easy to use. You need a good experienced core team and an easy adaptable or easy implementable use case as the first use case. And this is the first step. And then you can slowly improve and increase also the complexity. And yeah, we currently working, for example, also on a project called Process Academy, which then transport the knowledge, which we also gained in the last 3 years to potential customers. The goal is to do it as a nonprofit organization. So this is not going like for charging a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's mainly exchange knowledge or sharing knowledge through the whole industry.
Okay. Are you doing a benchmarking as well? So if I'm working for a completely different company, can I approach you to have an exchange on what you're doing? Maybe visit you to learn what you're doing there?
Yeah.
Is that something?
Yeah. I think it's the best to go outside of your bubble, because I love it to go in other industries to see complete new approaches, how you set up like big projects. To be honest, I think we are currently one of the biggest projects in Germany and one of the most complex process solutions. So it's cool to have the exchange. And I currently joining a lot of conferences, going in companies to hold master classes and so on. And I love the connection. So feel free. LinkedIn is the best option to connect.
Perfect. That's super cool. I did a lot of benchmarking when I was working for Lufthansa. So in the end, we benchmarked so many meetings and learned so many things that we were not able to really process all the learnings afterwards. But we were really excited. And I think this sharing of knowledge is super helpful for all the people involved.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Just as a warning for the ones just starting, what are the common mistakes I have to look out for to avoid them?
To have in the first meeting or in the first, I think, five meetings, every time the discussion about the vision. Because if you put five really experienced users in one room without any kind of documentation, without any kind of structure, they talk 5 hours and you don't have any kind of results. Because they every time speaks about really abstract visions, what we want to do in 3 years or 5 years, you have to start with the smallest increment. You have to start with the smallest pieces and bring or align the people together. Mm-hmm. To speak every time about the vision and what we want to do or what is possible in the future. This, we had a lot of meetings in the start phase. Oh man, I think about it's possible to automate everything. We can do everything in a cool way. But what you really do in detail? What are the small tasks which are really then the game changer? And mm-hmm. yeah, the second really key insight was for us to use the Scrum framework and the framework for user stories.
Okay.
With the three questions, who is doing what and why? And the why question was every time the most complicated. Why you have here a second approval? Why you are doing, I don't know, why you are copying data from A to B? Or what is your background there? Why are you currently responsible for this kind of process? So this was like, yeah, the two main challenges, focusing on the smallest increment to improve and to come to the come really fast to the first MVP. And the second was to focus using the methodology with user story mappings, where who is doing what and why.
Yeah,
this was the starting point.
Okay. Are you assigned to the IT department or where are you located at?
Not really. I'm like an, how to say it, I'm currently under our plant manager.
Okay.
Like a single person, only mainly focusing on the as a product ownership, mm-hmm. because I have tasks in every department. Means I am like the really flexible guy which can change from department to gain knowledge or to improve the processes. But yeah, my team is mainly assigned to the IT department.
Okay, that's interesting. And what is your experience? Are the people afraid of what is coming up there, or how do you get them excited for working with you?
The excitement starts with the MVP, to show up how crazy fast a single process can run with the implementation of data. Mm-hmm. Because imagine a normal engineer task is open two or three different programs, collect your data, store the data, bring the stored data into, I don't know, any kind of analysis program, mm-hmm. then starting analyze the data, and in the end you have to export and save your work or your results. We estimate a task like this with 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And now you come into an environment and IT applications where you have a tailored process for your daily work and you have everything done, because this is easy to process data. It's easy to analyze data because it's every day in the same data. It's not, mm-hmm. it's a repeating task. And if you only have to focus on to collect or to make a decision on the database, which you then already got really good prepared, it's way more easier and it helps you, and you can reduce the task time from 20 minutes to only 5 minutes of thinking. Mm-hmm. So, and this was, I think, the main key to get the happy faces and get the positive feedback from our guys and in the business departments.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. And taking that even further, you know, I'm doing a lot of research on how to get people excited for processes, how to get to more human-centric BPM approach. With all your experience, taking that into account, what are your top three recommendations to get people excited for processes?
First of all, you have to implement business people into the process. Mm-hmm. If they have every time the feeling that they are fully implemented, that the processes are described and set it up with their knowledge from the business team, mm-hmm. then they are really motivated to help, because it's nothing like, okay guys, you have now a new IT solution, please be comfortable with this in the next 2 weeks, but the IT solution doesn't match the real world. Because I think this was a main topic the last 5 to 10 years. A lot of new IT solutions come, or a lot of new IT solutions pops up, but they sometimes only have 80 or 70 to 80% of the real daily work. or they covered only 70 to 80%. With the new implementation of the business guys into the development, you cover, I think, 95, 99, or hopefully 100% of the real process, which or the real daily work. This was the main topic. And I also learned that it's sometimes really helpful to bring the guys also in this modeling, because it's easy to understand. It's not then a perfect model, but they can scribble and then they can use, for example, a half day or a full day scribbling the process to make really deep, deep, deep meetings, discussions, and concepts, how to create it. So bringing them also like in the modeling, because to write code is way more complex, I think. It's not so easy. So and to bring people there in, it's way more complicated. And in the end, the third topic is that the application which you provide has the perfect UI UX. So it's cool if you have 1,000 functionalities, but if it's looking like Windows 95, no one wants to use it. So why we buy Apple iPhones? Because they are really easy to use. They are every time same, and you don't have to, if you transfer from iPhone 7 to iPhone 13, you exactly know what you have to do. And this is like also the same thing, which is the biggest challenge for me, to bring the real, real complex processes in a nice, handy and easy to understand UI UX to the customers.
Yeah. And I think that's also a big challenge for the vendors out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I did a lot of tool interviews, and most tools have a long history, and they are coming, especially with regards to the interface, from a, I don't know, legacy UI, which is 10, 15 years old. And they now need to jump to a modern interface there just to have a great user experience when they log into the tool and they see, oh, this shitty navigation. They just close the app afterwards, and this is not what I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
I love what you just said there. Yeah, thanks. Cool. So you already said the listeners can contact you via LinkedIn. Is there another source to learn more about your activities?
First of all, LinkedIn is like posting daily work or daily achievements. And in the end, it's the new Established Process Academy, where we still start to transfer knowledge for how to learn to set up projects like this, automation projects, or how you get comfortable with BPMN, CMN, and DMN, how you use tools like this. We have a lot of plans there. So we're currently starting this project to...
So is there already a website where I can go to, or?
It's process-academy.org. Yeah, easy, type it in, and then you can reach us. And we have also like the contact formular where we get the first contacts already. So this is really cool how the people come to us without any kind of advertisement.
Yeah,
or,
cool.
I think the industry is crazy growing. We are still in the early phase of business process management. This is, I think, currently a topic for the big companies, and now slowly also smaller companies, and like the German Mittelstand comes into this topic, and they understand how important it is to run processes or like have standardized processes. And I'm also really happy to see that the public sector is slowly come to this business automation or this process automation, because honestly, I'm every time really angry to go in any kind of office, wait there an hour to do in the end only to fill out my name and do a signature. So man, this is easy to process or to automate.
Absolutely. I fully agree. On the one hand side, I'm also working with a smaller company who just started thinking in processes because they want to automate their processes more and more.
Nice.
They are growing like hell, and they are not able to cover this with the manpower which they have right now. That's super interesting. And on the other side, I never talked about that, and I'm not sure if my brother will really like that, but he's working for a small city in the area where we were born, and he's working on digitizing the processes there. And as I know, it's really hard to get these processes ahead, to make progress there in that, how should I say, it's not really highly regulated, but in this strong environment with all the bureaucracy out there. So that's really a challenge for the people. But I think also on LinkedIn, I saw some posts from a guy from, I'm not sure, from Switzerland, who is sharing his experience on automating processes for one city he's working for. So there are people out there.
I'm slowly diving into this topic. I have some contacts in Berlin and so on already, oh, cool. Which are really in the digitalization of the public sector.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to read what are their challenges and what, which with problems they're facing every day. And yeah, it's a big, big room of improvements and a lot of tasks to do. But yeah, it's cool to see. And I think if we are now the early adopters coming from the industry, to share the knowledge also into the public sector,
yeah,
which hopefully can then speed up the whole process. I think it's a cool combination from both worlds.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. I can only support that. So just go ahead and fight for processes. That's super cool. Wow. So before we leave our aircraft today here, is there a specific method, expert tool you would recommend for us as the new process community to have a closer look at, to learn more on how to rethink processes?
I think it's not a tool question. It's you don't have to go really in any kind of tool discussions. Yeah, every tool has some opportunities. Every tool has some positive impact. But it's not that process automation is a question of a tool, because in the core business, you can do with every tool the same.
Yeah.
You have to really make sure that you have the small army of optimistic, motivated guys which can help you on this topic. Then slowly improve your knowledge, what could be the solution or the improvement, and what is your... Yeah, the positive impact for your organization or for your environment. And the tool is then only like the sugar which you can add that everything is running smoothly and way more faster. And yeah, we have a lot of, if we look on the market, we have a lot of really old systems which are already running 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Look sometimes on smaller vendors, which are still starting, because they have the flexibility to have more a customizable, a really modern oriented solution for you. And if you run everything on standards with BPM 2.0 and CMNN, you can easily convert your already or your already started work from vendor to vendor.
Yeah.
And I think this should be the movement or like the starting point for everyone. Don't go in languages which are only in one tool, where you have to every time do your work once again if you want to switch the vendors. And think about a little bit, not only in processes, think also in data, think also in cool looking nice UIs that you have, like, for example, I don't know, collect or discover a tool which allows you to use, for example, React or Angular in your front end, mm-hmm. that you can really customize your front end for the business users. And in the end, I think the main goal is also connect with the experts in the industry, like you, Mirko, or like with Nico, or with like Christopher, mm-hmm. because you can gain in only 1 hour or in a half hour session so much knowledge and so much insight into the industry that the frustration is then way smaller for the starting point. So I only can recommend go into the communication with the experts in the industry, and then you can easily start a project.
Yeah, okay, that's very good. Thank you for all these insights. Before we leave the aircraft, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
I think the best would be if we grow as a community, that we more working together, that we hopefully can share more knowledge, because this is for me the most important, sharing knowledge, connecting with other guys from other industries. And if we raise as a community, then the whole process automation section also raise, and we can improve and speed up all our projects. And yeah, my goal is please let's do it together and not against us. So this was my wish, and hopefully we can start with a cool community then, or establish a cool community the next years together.
Yeah, very good. Cool. Ah, that was super interesting. And I just thought about the upcoming New Process Conference next year. It's still way out. It's in April, but hopefully we two can meet there in person as well. So that would be super great.
I'm in.
Perfect. And finally, how would you describe your flight experience here today in just three words?
Crazy, interesting, and future-proof. Something like this. This is... We are early adopters and a really crazy raising industry. So happy to see and improve all our knowledge in the next years and have a good connection. And as you already mentioned, I think conferences are the perfect spot to meet each other and transfer or exchange knowledge. So keep in. I'm happy to join the conference in April, and hopefully also the listeners come there.
Yeah, hopefully. But looking at the registrations, I'm quite sure that this is going to be a cool event there in April. So, Daniel, thank you so much for all these inspiring insights, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person. So have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mirko. Bye.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Yeah, I love Daniel's spirit of growing together with the community. That's why we are heavily working on organizing New Process Conference for April next year. To meet in person, to exchange with other enthusiasts, and to get new ideas on how to get people excited about processes. So don't miss getting your tickets for the BPM Highlight 2024. But be fast, there are only 100 tickets available, and the number of sold tickets is constantly increasing. But back to the interview with Daniel. To me, process automation is still very abstract, but you don't have to be an IT guy to get started with process automation. As Daniel told us, start small, start as simple as possible to build an MVP, which you can then use to get the people excited about process automation. I think that's a very good recommendation, and you can easily try it out. To learn more, check out Daniel's Process Academy by going to process-academy.org. Or contact Daniel directly. Based on my own experiences, I can only support to meet and to learn from others and to see what other organizations are doing. That's super important. So let's join forces. To give you an outlook, I'm still producing just in time, but there are some interesting guests in the pipeline, some BPM topics for sure, but also experts from other disciplines to explore how to apply their experience to rethink processes. So stay tuned. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye und auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
Before you leave, besides further New Process Podcast episodes and all my consulting activities, I'm currently working on a really cool thing to join forces. To not miss the latest news as soon as I can talk about this, don't forget to subscribe to the New Process Update, my more or less bi-weekly newsletter. To subscribe, just go to newprocesslab.com/update. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.